It's kind of the same way I started feeling about like Tim and Eric and all that shit. Like, was like, all right.
We're live, by the way.
Yeah, I know. I saw.
Okay. No, I didn't want to.
In case Tim and Eric are watching.
No. Just you looked. You know when you're about to say the N-word. You looked like you were about to. I just wanted to.
Oh. I got you. Yeah.
I just wanted to help you out.
So you want me to make sure I pronounce it correctly. And
I actually could you say it with three R's? wait, how? What were you gonna say about Tim and Eric?
Just the fact that like they get to a point where like they became so meta and they started to do like that, like it's not funny stuff so much that it was just like, well, just write a joke, guys. Stop making everything so awkward.
Yeah, you know what I think the problem with that is? I think people intellectualize comedy way too much, and it's like, no, comedy to me is more of an emotional reaction. So there is an argument where you're like, well, no, if with like, well, I don't know. It's hard to tell because there's comedy like you ever watch Sam Hyde shit?
No.
Okay, so he's like it's funny. He actually has a link to Tim and Eric because he had a Adult Swim show, Million Dollar Extreme, and the one I think the dude's Tim. Who's the thinner one, Tim or Eric?
Yeah, Tim Heidecker.
Yeah, Tim Heidecker, who is just on record is respectfully sucking ass. but yeah, Tim Heidecker basically he was doing some bullshit saying this guy was like, Sam Hyde was like a alt-right Nazi or something like that and got him fired from Adult Swim. So that's actually a funny correlation to them. But no, Sam Hyde shit, he does his shit. He'll do some like weird shit sometimes where it'll be like some public prank shit, or he'll just do some. Like, he has this famous thing where he did a TED Talk, and just long story short, like, he dressed up in a weird outfit and just trolled the whole audience. So there is a thing to that where it's like, a certain group of people can't be in on this for this to be funny.
Right.
Comedy's not necessarily a hard, fast, strict, like, oh, if everyone doesn't get it, then it's not good. But also at the same time, if you have to, like, if you have to exert a next level bit of effort to like intellectualize why this could be funny, it's like, dude, I just don't think it's funny. I think you're trying to go for some weird meta artsy thing, and it's when like I was saying before, it's like when you over intellectualize comedy and ends up just being fucking like whatever. Like if your response to it is like, haha, ooh, oh, it's like, no, your response should be like a big belly laugh.
Yeah, it's not like, yeah, it's not everything should be a thinker, or everything should be like, oh, let me try to figure out why this was funny, or oh, isn't it funny how the joke is that they're not normally people that act. They just get people that are just really shitty at acting, and you're like, oh, that's funny. That's cool that I spent money on it too. But I think it's also like it's the fact that you need a little bit of everything, right? Like you can't just have like if it's just the prank show or something like that. There's other things, there's other elements to it. You know what I mean? Like with like something like Borat, right? Where like he does do different meta things and different like exercises and whatever. Like they're in the second Borat movie, there was a real life thing that they actually kind of turned into kind of a little mini show on Amazon. But like he legitimately stayed the night with two dudes for like a week or something. Yeah. In character as Borat. So like that's something cool to be like, all right, that's something we like, but also you're doing it a little bit longer, but just continuing to do these like awkward things. I don't know. It's just like it just became very one note feeling, whereas like it was so exciting because you're like, oh, this is cool and different. It's like Andy Kaufman, but then you're like, wait a minute, if I had bought a ticket to Andy Kaufman and he just read me a book, I would be pissed. Do you know what I mean?
Which he did.
Which is what he did. And it was like one of those things of like, wait a minute, I don't like this.
Yeah, no, I was like, I was explaining to someone where I was like, Andy Kaufman sucks ass on paper. Or right. No. Andy Kaufman's funny on paper. Well, I will say this. His shit where he was like wrestling and fighting women, that was hilarious. Because that's like a big troll on a bunch of people who aren't. It's like when a small group of people aren't in on the joke so all of us can laugh, that's a fun time. Sucks to be that group of people not in on the joke, but be self-aware enough to realize you're in on the joke. But no, I'm more like the other shit, like the stage shit Andy Kaufman did. I was like, it's funny on paper, but it sucks ass for anyone having to watch it.
I think it's the funny one story. Yeah.
The one story that they always tell is like Andy Kaufman showed up to an open mic, set up a whole drum set, hit one note, and then tore down the drum set and just left. And you're like, yeah, that's like really, that's like a funny if it was like a cartoon or something. But like when you're actually there in the audience, like there's a, in my opinion, there's a strong argument to be like, oh, he's a dickhead. Cause it's like,
you're a prank.
You're just being, but it's not even a prank though. Like it's not even a prank. You're just, the joke is you're being annoying.
Right. Yeah. It's very much. And that's why like that kind of stuff is cool. It's funny. Like for me to see you do it to them. Yeah. But like I would understand their frustration too. Like it's, whereas before I'd just be like, what's wrong with them? They're like, it's so funny. Those guys are so uncool. They just are sitting there getting upset. And it's like, no, they're upset because they're getting pissed off. They're getting pissed off because they wanted to see a comedian.
That's and like
seeing some dickhead just like commit to a bit. And it's like,
yeah, there's like a thing. You're reminding me of some shit with like YouTubers where there's like a thing I noticed with like these hidden camera YouTubers. Like there'd be this, there's this one kid. There's two kids I'm thinking of. There's one guy that will annoy people. And then when they start getting mad, he'll be like, whoa, man, calm down. And I'm like, no, that's the reaction you wanted. So like, and then there's another guy. This kid drives me fucking insane. Cause he'll do this thing where he'll go to sporting events. He'll wear the other team's jersey and then he'll start yelling shit at people, but not even like funny shit, just whatever would get the other. He just yells whatever would get the opposing fans angry. And then they start getting in his face and then his cameraman will get in their face and he'll just be like, you're not going to do nothing. What are you going to do? And it's like the kid's a fucking pipsqueak. Like he'll get his ass handed to him 10 out of 10 times. But he's being a pussy by putting the camera in the guy's face and the guy's going like, oh, I'm on video now. And I'm like, well, you can't do that. You can't. It's like it's this weird thing where you're like, you're just unapologetically being a bitch. It's so weird, man.
Yeah, I think there's just that thing where there's a line between. Again, committing to a bit or, you know, a prank show and like done well or done like you're just lying to people. Like there's certain things where when you're just lying to people, I like Impractical Jokers. I think they got a nice medium right there where they're in on the joke, you know, maybe they're not, like they blur the faces of the people that don't want to be included and they're like, oops, sorry about that. You know what I mean? Like there's still those situations where it can't just be like, what if I just go out there and I just like George Carlin. I remember I read one of the few books I have read was George Carlin's autobiography. And there was a time frame where he had a residency in Vegas during his stand up comedy career where he would just lay under the piano and describe what the underneath of the piano looked like. And not even necessarily in a funny way, would just go like, just like almost like a protest. And I was just like, what a fucking piece of shit. You know what I mean? Like you fucking little bitch artist, like, oh, you're not feeling fulfilled. Then do other jokes. You fucking loser. What's wrong with you? You're just laying under the piano. It really made me lose a lot of respect. I mean, he was talking about this at a time in his youth and he's grown since then, I'm sure. But
like a youth thing.
Yeah, but I still feel like, I don't know, there was a bit of that with George Carlin anyway, where he was so scripted and everything. That story kind of made me lose respect for him as a performer, because it's like one of those things of like, what are you doing, dude? Like, if you're not having fun out there, it's your fault. You can't just sit there and act like you're some artist.
Oh, you're saying he got fed up with the residency, so he started doing that.
He started doing that kind of like as a like fuck the man, and it's like this bullshit of like, or maybe it was to be artistically fulfilled, or maybe he was just depressed and he was just doing this like you're acting like a child. You're acting like a baby throwing a hissy fit. So if your thing is like the thing that would make the Andy Kaufman thing better would be if he threw in a traditional set every once in a while.
You know what I mean? I guess with
there Carlin, wasn't a plant, there wasn't a fucking element of like bit, you know?
Yeah, I guess with Carlin, I'm just laughing because I'm like, dude, I would take the residency because of the money, but I'm like, I could see myself fucking getting grumpy halfway into it. So yeah, I'm not even.
Yeah, you still got to do like for him just to be like, oh, just laying underneath. I could understand if he was talking about your stuff, but
what I'm trying to say is like on paper, I get it. On paper, I get it. I'm like, oh, really? You're fucking, you know, oh, you're really that sad about your residency or this and that thing. But then it's like, you know, there is part of me that goes, yeah, I don't know, man. I would, I could see it getting to me at certain point.
I think with a Vegas residency, I may be incorrect about this, but I believe each one has to be the same thing. It can't be. It's almost the same thing as like a Broadway thing or something like that. Like you have to. The thing that makes it different is it is the same.
Yeah,
so that's the craziest thing is it has to be the exact same thing. So like the fact that tiger attacked Roy is really unprofessional.
No, it's funny. That actually put me more on George Carlin's side. I was like, dude, I'd go into that. I'd go into that being like, dude, I'll fucking crush this. And then I'm just like, nah, dude, I'm going to fucking take my dick out and fuck the piano. Yeah, man. But hey, guys, welcome to a brand new episode of Drag the Lake. We've been podcasting a lot today. If you guys are into this, we also we're doing Saturday. So I get why.
Because of the Lord.
It might be because of the Lord. As we talked about on No More Heroes, Christ is King.
And, he will be risen. He will be risen tomorrow. He is not risen yet. He will be.
Dude, he's gonna rise so fucking hard. It's gonna be so sick. Raw.
He's gonna be risen like he's gonna be like bread, bro.
For real.
His body like is bread. Oh my god, his body is bread. He is bread.
It's gonna be like the Pandy when we were all making sourdough.
That's why everybody got so fucking butthurt when the Beatles said that they're bigger than Jesus. Because they're like, you're not bigger than bread. That's what it really was. Or maybe that was the Simpsons thing, the episode that they did about where that Homer was in the barbershop trio with everybody else, and like they said that they were bigger than sliced bread.
Oh yeah,
that's actually a lot more clever of a joke, because they're the reference was the Beatles said that they're bigger than Jesus.
Yeah.
Or actually John Lennon mentioned that they were bigger than Jesus. And that's actually a lot more clever of a joke than I had given The Simpsons credit for at the time.
Oh, did you just get that?
I literally just got that real time. You guys just witnessed it live on YouTube. Don't forget to hit like, subscribe, also rate and review. Can I talk to you about some stuff?
Yeah, I want to pull. Sorry, I'm pulling up
your pud
topics. You're just. Realizing the most obvious Simpsons jokes.
You're gonna pull your bud, are you?
I'm gonna pull my
bud. While you're doing that, I'm gonna interrupt you by asking your opinion on something. Andy, we've experienced this a couple times recently, where not necessarily the sound guy, unless they're the person operating the lights.
Oh yeah, you just went to a show.
Yeah, I just went to see Strung Out with Les and Jake for their Return to Rockview tour, where they were playing Incompletion. The album Hello Rockview, my favorite, and also probably the least ska of all their albums. Less than Jake was there headlining in Reading, PA at Reverb.
You gotta put aside In with the Out Crowd. That's the least ska of their albums.
Is it really?
You're better for not listening to it.
Okay, good.
It's very, very bad. But no, they tried to write like a pop album, and it'd be one of those things where like you'd kind of hear a horn on a chorus that was that the volume was turned down and blended in with everyone else.
Yeah, almost like it just sounded like a backing, like a keyboard or something like that with the horn sound.
Exactly.
So I was really excited to see. I love this album by Les and Jake. It's my favorite Les and Jake album. It's also, I think, the first album I got to listen to or got to buy like live when I became a fan of theirs.
Like at a show?
Well, no, like I was like, this was like an album that was put out after I had become a fan of theirs. So, you know, you become a fan and you can listen to all their older albums. This was like the first one, new one for me, like of theirs. And it's like the best one, in my opinion.
Sorry, you just said I got to buy an album live. That shut my brain down.
Oh, sorry.
It's like, what does that mean?
But Strung Out was the band, Andy.
Yeah.
I have that I got to see for the first live band I ever saw.
Really?
Ever I saw live, it was Strung Out with All and Pennywise at Janus Landing in downtown St. Petersburg.
Oh, All, which is
the Descendants with
not the Descendants
with not Milo. It's basically just not Milo, really. It was a great fucking show, but Strung Out fucking blew me away.
About the Descendants,
yeah,
their fans need to get over themselves. I listened to other Descendants albums. They all did not deserve to get treated how you treated them.
What do you mean?
Because like All, like people would go see All, but they never like caught on because everyone would always just be like, "But we want the Descendants."
Oh yeah, All is the Descendants. Like it's like literally no. I'm just saying that like as far as
I know, but what I'm saying is like the All never got the full respect because everyone would be like, "This is good." But I really want the Descendants. Yeah.
Can't you and just then it's like the Descendants?
Can you just guys like be the Descendants? And it's like you listen to the rest of the Descendants albums, and it's like you guys owe All an apology. And I'm not even saying they're shitty. I'm just saying like you don't. It's not like they just kept writing Milo Goes to College. Let's be fucking real.
It, to me, in my opinion, like the Descendants never actually took a break. It really did. They did call the band something else, but even I think if I remember correctly, even when I saw them, All played a couple of the Descendants songs. Like they performed. Yeah. So like it never changed. It was always just the same thing. They just kind of kept going on and with a different lead singer. So like, not only are you correct in your assumption, but also like factually, they're just wrong. It's the same fucking band with a different singer. And he's not even a bad singer. He's actually he's a better singer.
Well, I guess their complaint would be like, yeah, it's the same band, but we're not hearing the songs we want to hear.
Right. But and then I would say that's my part where you're just factually inaccurate, because if you saw them live, they do play Hope. They play all the fucking songs. They even play Milo Goes to College. They play the songs. Yeah. So it's like,
well, they probably like play more of them and stop playing All.
Just be the Descendants. They just want you just call yourself the Descendants.
It's the thing where it's like they are the Descendants, but they're not the Descendants.
Right. Yeah. It's not official. It's like seeing the dead Kennedys with Brandon Cruz. That's not the dead Kennedys. But I fell in love with Strung Out that night. I fucking love that band and been following them ever since. So I found out
I pictured you and Strung Out in one big bed. You're like, wow, we're in love, Strung Out.
Just fell in love. Like, are you feeling this?
Wow. All right. Time for our nightly orgy. Strung Out, tear me up.
Dude, I got to tell you right now, I am so fucking pissed off at the sound guy from Reverb. Because
sound guy can fuck it up.
He fucked Strung Out's set, dude.
Really? Just their set?
Yeah, not them, not physically. Like
No. I'm saying just that band.
Well, I'm assuming
did Less Than Jake sound good?
This is my theory. I'd like to know if any
Patspiracy?
Yeah. Well, yes, this is a Patspiracy, but also it's just a technical question. For any bands that tour out there, any headlining bands or just bands in general, do you bring your own sound person? Do you have a merch guy that doubles as a sound guy or anything like that? Because I think most headliners that we see, I think, bring their own sound person.
Yeah.
If depending on the tier of the band or the venue, I think they say like, we don't trust. So I know for a fact that NoFX has their own sound person for each show. They have all that. So when they were setting up for Strung Out and for Less Than Jake, they did not do sound checks. They just brought the stuff out, left it there, and then they just came up, picked up their instruments and started playing. So I think that's, and I don't know if that's how Reverb does it.
That's
you know, you didn't hear that dun, 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 dun.
Yeah,
you didn't
hear all that. That's usually that's how it works a lot of time for bigger shows. Like, but I don't think when we saw Jesus Piece, they didn't check their instruments. I don't remember any of that happening during the August Burns Red show.
That's just standard, though. But okay, so
because they always do sound check earlier in the day.
I would hope that that happened earlier.
I think that happened. Okay, no. I mean, I'm not denying that it probably sounded bad, but I think on a show, on a level of show like that, almost always they check them earlier in the day.
So this is a point. The reason I think there may have been, even if it was the same sound person, the reason that there may have been an issue was the lead singer of Strung Out oftentimes uses a nice dose of reverb, not necessarily effects or anything like that, but reverb in general. And I think I even posted a video of them playing in my story or something like that. There's like, I didn't want to post any more because it doesn't sound good. And it's it was not the band. The band was fucking, when they had it like dialed in, the instruments at some point they ended up getting pretty well, but the vocals, the fucking guitar players, their mics sounded great. But anytime he tried to use his mic, and I would see him go like, and like take the inner ear monitor out, it was squealing a couple times. Or there's certain times where I know the song. I know the note he's hitting. I know he can hit those notes. And he's doing this and I'm hearing nothing. I don't even hear his fucking voice. So like the sound guy absolutely fucked their set and they still killed it. Mm. Like it was still,
can I ask you this? Hmm. Did you witness those problems with Less Than Jake?
Not so when they first came out and they started playing, the music kicked in and everything like that, he started singing and he was talking into the mic and there was no vocals coming out. So, but they did end up adjusting it. And that's what I'm wondering, if did they just do, was he doing it real time? Does Strung Out have their sound guy and he was fucking up? Was it the sound, like whoever was running sound for Strung Out set?
Yeah, that sounds, yeah. That just sounds like fucking,
now
that dude sucked ass.
The other thing was that was the only band where he was the only vocalist without an instrument. So he had the microphone in his hand as opposed to in a mic stand. Every other band had, every vocalist had a mic stand with a dedicated mic, never moving it or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So that might have played a part. But if you can't handle somebody holding a microphone, I don't know who dropped the ball there. But I've seen Strung Out on multiple occasions in multiple different environments, and it's never sounded that poorly mixed before in my life.
Yeah, it sounds just like a bad sound guy. Maybe they got, maybe it was like a new person. Cause you said in the beginning of Less Than Jake said, it still wasn't like figured the fuck out. That can like really ruin a fucking show for you. Like I remember, where the fuck was it? I remember I was at the church in Philly, classic hardcore venue. Now, I've only ever been to the church once. I don't know what their track record's like. I've seen enough Hate 5-6 videos to see that, you know, a lot of people like going there. So the sound's probably, sound at the church is probably more good than it is bad. Oh, by the way, Hate 5-6, that dude is getting clowned right now. It's so funny finding out people don't how like more people get annoyed by. I don't even like hate the dude. I just like to bust balls on his commie bullshit because I don't know. Hammer and Sickle in 2024 is wild to me, but whatever. But no, apparently he had some post about like the feds raiding him, and there's just like, I even saw shout out Ian Finance. I even saw Ian Finance being like, he's like, what, are they coming to inspect you kicking a woman? Yeah, and then a bunch of people are calling him like a fake communist, where it's just like, oh, are they looking into all that fucking free labor you get off the bands you don't pay?
I will say, sorry,
just another aside on that dude. I will say, to defend him, he does actually he probably provides a service to a lot of bands by just having high quality video of them out there. So there is a trade-off. Like, I know if I was in a band and I found out that the Hate 5-6 guy there, I was like, I would literally be like, oh, sweet, we're going to get a free high quality video of our band playing live. Yeah. Let's do good. And this will be like the best. I know for me, I saw a bunch of half the reason I'd want to see certain bands, but I'd see them, or like a lot of bands I now listen to regularly, I found on his channel. So yeah. I actually will say he does provide, even though he doesn't pay the bands or anything, he does provide a really good service for them. He's giving them high quality live footage for free. But anyway, Bad Sound, we're talking about Bad Sound. I remember being at the fucking church, going to see like Enter Shikari and a bunch of bands, and it was fun, but it like took me out because it literally just felt like the sound guy just went on all the dials and just went
yeah,
like yeah, Dom, and it's a lot.
Even Dom noticed it, dude. Like I was like, it was like the first couple songs, and dude, they, I gotta tell you, as a Strung Out fan, they were playing the fucking hits, dude. It was I was like, I cannot believe they're playing this many back-to-back songs that I'm so in, like, not just of like
how familiar. Long have been a band for, how long have you been listening to them too? You know what I meant.
I was like, wait, I don't even know how to make fun of that. I don't know what you but I know what you just said. You know what I mean?
I know. How long have you been listening to them too?
So I've been listening to them too for that was probably 1998.
Really?
So like they, and they've probably been a band since 1995, if I had to guess. I'm gonna guess 95. 94.
Wow. Looking up? Yeah. Well, I'm looking up how many. Wow. They've had one, two. Oh, no. That's, they've been around since 94 at least. 94.
Okay. So, yeah.
Probably a little bit before the. Oh, yeah. Their Wikipedia says they started in 89. Good for them.
So, they, I've been.
But, yeah, they've had. Since,
like, 98, I'd say.
Okay. So, they've had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 10 or 11 albums.
I gotta tell you, almost all of those are fucking like from start to finish, great albums. And I've even missed a couple. Like I kind of
been locked. Oh, okay. I was just gonna ask that. Have you been locked into Strung Out, or you missed a few?
It was like I missed a couple, and then there was a they released a couple years ago. I really fucking fell in love with, and they put this. They're actually the single that they put out that I sent you that kind of got you into them a little bit was I'm like, damn, they continue to put out consistently great music that doesn't sound too much alike or anything like that. Very very metal influence, very metal sound, but like they're a band that like. I was like really excited for the song choice that they had, like everything that they're bringing out, right? And there wasn't really a point where like people were kind of bouncing and they're kind of, you know, bumping around and everything, but there wasn't any kind of movement. And I was like, why isn't it happening? I wanted to go, but I was just kind of like, I was like,
because all their fans are older than you.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, I'm like, wait a minute. Is this like an age thing? Is this like, are we just too old to do this? Because the band before them, there's the opener was called the Raging Nathans. And they were more like,
all them in the head for that stupid name.
No, it's just, it's one of those things of like, they were very, I don't want to sound like I'm trying to diminish them or anything, but they were very much cookie cutter, okay. They were
why'd you do that?
I don't know. I don't
you didn't say it weird.
Yeah, I didn't say it weird, but then I remember
what the fuck was that?
It was just a little God,
you stopped yourself so you could say it weirder.
I feel like that's a reference, but like my brain's frying right now and I can't actually what the reference is.
Yeah, we have been talking. We have been talking geopolitics for 2.5 hours before this.
It's very much like bad cop, or it's like pop punk, just like
the good. Band.
But the pit is kind of like just a bunch of people running in a circle. And this is going to be a case. I have two cases for the pit police today.
Sorry, you're saying circle pits. I was thinking about circle pits the other day. Fucking hardcore shit. Like moshing is. Very superior to everything else, because like thinking back to like push pits and stuff, because I remember the first time I went to a hardcore show, I stood there. Also, I should say to the only man in the chat right now, because we are doing a random Saturday show. Yes, because we said it before. Tonya, thanks for hanging out with Tonya, the Lord. Tonya is king. Christ is not king. Tonya is king. We're celebrating the Lord rising tomorrow. So,
yeah.
Which
pits?
Yeah. Oh, that's the thing. I remember one of the first times I went to like a hardcore show. And I was like a little worried. I was like, oh, this is going to be rough. And then you go. And then if you don't want to be in the mosh pit, you can just stand there and it's okay. And I'm like, wait a minute, this is better. Like, I remember, bro, it was more pleasant to stand in the crowd for Jesus Peace than it was the last time I went to go see Taking Back Sunday. Because with Taking Back Sunday, it's just everyone fucking moving around and pushing around and shit. And I'm like, can there be a spot slightly near the stage where I don't have to deal with this? But it's like, I was like, oh, wait, this shit sucks way more than like the most violent hardcore show I've ever been to.
Yeah.
Moshing is without a doubt superior in my mind.
I got to tell you, I think almost the opposite. I think the circle pit is key. I think that is more uniform and it's something that is, I feel way more comfortable in the regular. So I like my technique, like much like you have your technique to be the big red menace in the pit. I have my washing machine.
Yeah. How many beers did you drink?
What did I say? I made Dom buy two, and then I bought two, and then I went up one more, and then four. But at the time, I'm fucking jamming
four less than eight.
But I'm jamming out to fucking Strung Out, loving the songs. But no, so the point I was making earlier was during the Raging Nathans set, it was just a normal, everybody's like running. It almost just looked like what are those weirdos that run around that fucking thing for the holiday? Muslims, where they fucking, they do the circle pit around the big black thing.
So like, weirdos.
It's just like that, where they're just running around in a circle. So the same thing happened. Religion's just a bunch of fucking hats. It's dumb. So there's even a child, like I'm not exaggerating, probably a 7 or 8 year old kid in the pit. And I'm not saying that just because I'm a 37 year old man. And I was like, what is he, eight? No, he's an 8 year old kid. Like, that's a kid, child. There's multiple children at the show. This is going to be one of the cases I bring up later. So
they brought him to the Raging Nathans.
I know, right?
Is that what they're called?
The Raging Nathans. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I was just saying it.
I know you were trying to be demeaning to make up a silly name to make fun of them, but that's actually their name.
Wait, that happened at the Angry Kyles?
There you go. That was at the Disappointed Tuckers?
The Bummed Out Steves?
I can't do it anymore.
Oh, man.
I was out of it.
The Melancholy Phils?
So there is during the Strung Out show, there's also the what I like to call my brother in the show, in the pit, which is the guy who got drunk before the show, who is just having a fucking good time, man. Let's fucking go. Like,
hell yeah.
And doing the thing that, you know, that you dude, you come on, like to complete strangers and all this shit.
Yeah. Me and Knocked Loose.
Yeah. This guy came in and was that. He got that going, and
sick.
Like, finally, thank you, buddy. Let's do. And I was like, and when he did the thing, he saw me rocking out and did the thing. Like, you got to be the guy that comes in here too. And I was like, you know what, buddy, I am. Let's go.
Hell yeah.
I gave Dom my glasses, and I was like, I love Strung Out. Let's fucking rock. Traditional push pit. Here comes case number one for the pit police. I'm gonna say, my initial response is I want to give the guy a warning, but traditional push pit.
Yellow flag.
Washing machine Pat is in full effect. I'm in agitator mode where I'm touching the sides, I'm turning.
You're being an instigator.
Let's go. Come on. Yes. I'm an agitator. Let's go. Yes. You're in the mouth of the pit.
You're starting the spin cycle.
Yeah, let's go. Right? And I'm doing it. Probably my third time around, right? I bump into one of the guys that's looking at the stage, and I bump into him, and he goes, "You okay?"
Oh.
Now,
that's not.
And I go, yep. And I push, and I push off. And I go, now that's me giving him a warning and not worrying about it. I didn't target him. I didn't attack him or anything like that. But I really feel like I should have given this guy a ticket because, like, dude, I'm in the pit. Are you okay? What's going on with you, bud?
There's a weird mindset where like people go into those environments and they're like, "Huh, am I being pushed?" And you're like. Yeah, dude, you're in the place where this happens.
And to be honest with you, a person that looks like this gentleman turning around and looking at me and asking me if I'm okay.
Wait, what did he look like? You got to describe what he looks like. You can't just
The bass player Motion City soundtrack. You know what I mean? Like there's some dipshit that still had his glasses on in the crowd. Like, who do you think you are that you're not untouchable? You're untouchable all of a sudden because it was some just frail.
Was he the guy protecting his girlfriend? That's the
No. That's
that
what I'm
guy. That guy. Pussy. Yeah. Well, that guy's a pussy too. The protecting their girlfriend guy is also hilarious. Where it's like, because you get a lot of these where they'll be like, and then you go like,
no, yeah.
A lot of over the shoulder stern. And you're like, you're at a punk rock show, you fucking pussy.
It was more of this guy. It was this guy, the grow up.
Yeah.
Meathead. Like, I used to like calling me a meathead. Like, are you okay, buddy? Are you having a little too much fun out here? Like, no. I'm acting appropriately when they're fucking shredding, dickhead.
No, that's definitely a warning.
Yeah. So I really wanted to smash that guy's fucking face. But the next case came right on across my desk almost immediately.
So, you finished up the paperwork. You were about to go home, and they're like, "No, we need you back out in the streets, Pat."
Sarge, we got a big issue happening right out here. And I was like, "Oh, all right, what's going on? All right, and I get up, dude." So next song. I mean, me and there's a pretty decent pit. Like I got to tell you, once the circle pit starts at a punk show. It is. I will say it gets a lot more of those people that are like,
like the circle pit.
I love a circle pit. That's my jam. Circle. I'm pushing around. I'm going. It's,
you know,
it's
what
everything.
It is? I'm not. I don't have good cardio. I'm not.
That's my thing.
Circle pit's overrated.
It's to me. I like the wave feel of it. It feels like it goes around. It's and it matches the speed of the music. It's like you can. The push pull of it, a lot of it, like the balance, I have a lot better balance than I did a lot earlier on. Yeah. But you're right, the cardio is a lot.
I will say
a lot more important for that.
I will say, like, I think a circle pit's good when it's small. When it's a big circle pit, I'm like, you're just making me run.
You hit a gap, and then I'm like, then I just like do that thing where you spring forward and you start falling forward, kind of thing.
Yeah, but when the circle pit gets big, you're just running.
I like a nice tight condensed eye, you know what I'm saying? Like that's what I want to see. Tight butthole. So we're going around, and the main, you know, come on, the stars are obviously the drunk guy and the other drunk guy. So we're going around, and like I said, I mentioned there was kids. Well, the kid was in the pit again for a strung out, but it's a little bit different for strung out than it is for the Raging Nathans. And we're pushing. And the drunk gentleman straight up kneed him Jorge Masvidal in the face.
Oh, dude.
And the kid went flying. Yeah. Crying. I could hear him crying over the music.
Wait, he kicked him and the kid started crying.
But he did not do it on purpose. He was running kid, you know, obviously he couldn't see him. The kid was only shin height and so the dad, my issue is not with the drunk guy. There's no charges to be filed there. He's acting accordingly to the pit. Everything is above board for him. I'm not even giving him a warning. You did nothing wrong here, kid. I'm going to get you out of here as soon as you can. Just, you know, sit tight. We're going to get this paperwork worked out. Mm-hmm. My problem was with the dad.
Yeah.
The dad picked up the kid and is doing this and he's going, just go away. Just walk away, man. Just walk away, man. Just walk away. And the guy's like, hey, man, I'm really sorry. I didn't mean it. Like, and the guy, just walk away, man. Just walk away.
Yeah,
we're at a punk show.
I would
put your child into the mosh pit. Why on earth would you be mad at anybody but yourself?
I would argue that dad is a certified big dumb idiot. Cause that's like, here's my thing. You can't really charge the kid with anything, but he should not be there at all.
That somebody
like not even no 8-year old bro. You should be careful if you're a fucking teenager.
You have to leave your child at the bar. Now you lose custody for the rest of the show. You're
bro,
not allowed.
You weren't there when I went to go see fucking Counterparts. There were a Sioux Space Cowboy came and there was like CU Space Cowboy was there, and there was like two or three kids. They looked like tiny little like Twinkie trans kids, and like I saw them get into the pit, and I got worried for them. They right. were like 16-year-olds, and yeah. I got worried for them.
Right.
This
is no exaggeration. An 8-year-old child who was like who was having a good time jumping around, but like you're in the pit, dude. Like dad, he's in Wait, the pit.
What was the how crowded was the pit?
The pit, it was a very hesitant pit in general to start, so it wasn't super duper dense, but there was, I'd say, about 11 or 12 people in a smaller, probably 7x7 pit, like a little, you know, good size,
yeah,
like a nice little circle. But it wasn't,
have,
you know,
did the kid have earphones?
No, I don't think so, actually.
Really?
I'm sure not. No, there were like at least two or three other kids that I did see. That did have
his
the
kid headphones. Didn't have earphones.
Mm-mm. Wow. That's what I saw. Not what I saw. I did not see it. They might have gotten knocked off his fucking head.
You looked up and there's just
when he's fucking dead last one.
Wait. You look up and there's a guy above the kid with headphones on like this.
What just happened?
They just got launched up at that guy.
And the dad went over and took him off his head and goes, "Those are my sons."
Nah, like, that kind of shit
he has of like, this is your problem, buddy. You just because you're a dumb drunk asshole, like, dude, you're like, I know the strung out's not Slayer, you know what I mean? And to be honest, this was a capacity Less Than Jake crowd. This was most of the people were there to see Less Than Jake, and like you said, may have been seeing strung out since 1989. You know what I mean?
Let me ask this. Was there so? I like going to formerly Electric Factory, now the
Franklin Music Hall.
Franklin, that's right.
Yeah.
I like going there. And then when we went to go to Union Transfer, they had the same thing. Got a nice little balcony for you to stand
yeah.
on. Starland Ballroom's just like that. They got a raised section by the bar for you to stand on. All good venues. Was there – Crock Rock even kind of had one back in the day over in Allentown.
Yeah.
Was there at and this is a Reverb in Reading, Pennsylvania.
Yeah. There's
is there a good area for you to stand on?
No, see, this was the same place I went to see Black Flag, and it was like it seemed like a completely it was a lot less attended for that show. And it was a capacity crowd. It's just basically it looks like a big VFW hall. Like
so
a
there's
big,
no but there's no there's like,
no No second
yeah,
story.
That's what I was asking. There's no like yeah. raised up area for them no. to stand.
No. The stage obviously is raised yeah. up. That's well, the only part, you know.
This to me though.
It's a kid, dude. You put him on your shoulders.
Yeah. Here. Yeah. But it's like when you go to a movie and someone brings like a crying kid yeah. and like doesn't do anything to stop it, and it's just like no, like you have a kid. You don't yeah. get to do this the same way you used to do. Like, because yeah. that's but, what fucking happens. You bring a kid to the pit and a guy three or four times his size knees him in the fucking head. That right. actually, the fact that guy was going like, like yelling yeah. at you and shit or yelling at the other guy, it's like, no, you're the fucking dickhead, yeah. dude. It's yeah, crazy He's fucking 8. Have you ever like fucking tried to steal an 8-year-old? It's easy. They're super light.
I had already determined I was going to take the side of the drunk guy, as opposed to like if the dad like wanted to go like, what the fuck, dude? I'd be like, hey man, this is your fault. Like he's doing what he's supposed to. You're the dickhead for bringing your child into the grown man mosh pit. Like, did you see any other children here? Did it look like a cool, mellow environment? Are we fucking running into each other, stupid? Yes, we're 37-year-old men. So are you. Fucking pick your kid up and get him out of our way. Like, this is legitimately, if anything, I think it's an 18 and up show anyway. Like, I don't know if it's all ages or not, but even still, like, I would assume that they wouldn't let kids in if it wasn't all ages, but still, like, you might be here to bring them to see Less Than Jake. But even this album, as far as Less Than Jake albums, is a pretty heavy album, and there's going to be a lot of fucking circle pits, and it's not going to be kid inducive. We're not skanking here today. Today is going to be mosh pits. Like, it's not necessarily a, you know, what's their one song?
I don't even think you gotta go that far with it. It's just like, don't bring your kid into a crowd like that, retard.
Or to the mouth of the pit. You know what I mean? Like, put them on your shoulders, stand near the back or near the front, wherever you feel is safe, I guess. But like, either way, that child is your responsibility. It's not like, like there's enough responsibility in the pit to pick up other adults in real time when you're getting pushed and pulled and everything like that. If I have to worry about everything that's below shin height, just in case I might run into a fucking 5-year-old because you're like, he's what is he doing down there? He's just looking at a bunch of fucking grown people's butts. You know what I mean? Like, let him see the show. Let him rock out on you. He doesn't need to be there. He doesn't need to be there. I do.
I need this.
He doesn't fucking need this. He's just having
fun. I mean, it is like a cool, I will say it is a cool memory. Like, I remember my dad, actually, speaking of ska bands, when I was in middle school, my dad took me to Croc Rock to go see Real Big Fish. They were playing with, who were they playing with? There was a band, no.
Mustard.
No, it was, no, they were smart. They had like pop punk bands open for them. So it wasn't like an all ska show. No, it wasn't Bowling for Soup. Who the fuck was it? I remember the name. No,
Homegrown? SR71.
Is that a band? Homegrown?
Yes.
Homegrown. But wait.
Homegrown Big Wig?
Band. Nope. No. Yeah, Homegrown. That's right. Yeah.
Big Wig?
You know what? It might have been Big Wig. Wait, I'm sorry. I'm getting really stuck on what the Homegrown song I was listening to was. I don't remember. Do you remember, Pat?
Was it Big Wig?
It might have been Big Wig. Anyway, I'm sorry.
Big Wig by Homegrown?
I'm sorry. I'm hyper-focusing on the wrong thing. But anyway, I just remember, like, I don't know any other songs by this band, but I remember there was one specific song by Homegrown. That's right. They did a Barbie Girl cover.
Oh, that's cool.
That's right. Right?
I don't think so.
I think so. Barbie Girl cover. Sorry. Okay. This is not interesting at all. but regardless, I remember that was my dad took me to that show because he liked the bands. We liked the bands and it was very fun. It's like a good memory. It's like a good memory going to the show with my dad. But you know what I remember? Is I remember standing off to the side with my dad.
Yeah.
Because I'm in fucking child. I'm in fucking middle school and I shouldn't be in the goddamn pit. And it's like, that's just what annoys me with like people with kids sometimes. I just go like, yeah, dude, I don't think you can do this thing yet. Like, you see it with everyone's got that family member that has kids, like they like, you'll, not to get dark, but you'll have that like family member who has kids too young and they always like try to like, they try to go hard and drink too much with certain things and like that. And you're like, no, you don't get to do that yet, man. You have babies.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, wait till they're older and you can more responsibly get shit housed.
Yeah. Unfortunately, like, you don't have that luxury right now.
I just don't know what to tell you right now. You can't do that right now.
So really what it was is, I'm sure like this gentleman brought his son. That's probably a thing. Like, this is a good way that his wife lets him go to shows, is that he brings a kid. And it's his responsibility. So I think what he saw when he got his kid get kneed in the face, not only was it his son being damaged by another man's knee bone, but it was also the fact, it was the possibility of him having a personal life anymore. So my ruling is not, I feel like this, you let me know if this is fair or not. I wanted to get your, what I felt like a correct punishment would be, and this is going to be so we can set a precedent, so the from now on, because Tonya is talking about it too in the comments, he's seen plenty of irresponsible parents at shows as well. My ruling is, I feel like from this day forward, any show that this boy, the son, goes to, the only way he can actually go into the mosh pit is if he gets on his daddy's shoulders and his dad carries him throughout the mosh pit. If you want to protect him so bad, then you're going to be taking all of the damage and you're going to have your son until the age of 18. So he's, you're going to have a 17-year-old boy on your shoulders in the mosh pit. If he ever wants to go into a mosh pit again, it has to be on his father's shoulders under his father's supervision.
Nah, I just think kids should be banned from the pit.
From shows, from life. Let's kill him.
Yeah. Let's nuke all kids.
Nuke all kids.
Nah, I get it. You wanna provide that, like, you wanna provide that, like, core memory and shit like that. But I'm sorry, like, whether it's a push pit or a mosh pit or whatever, you're like, you know, that's there for that's there for grown people to be violent.
Right.
So, you know, it's like, you know, you don't take a kid into the bar, you don't take him into the fucking pit. Like, right. It's just it's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If your friend if you want him to see the show so bad, show him YouTube videos. You know what I mean? Or go to a festival, go to an outdoor festival. You know, there's so many different options besides putting your kid into direct danger and then getting mad at other people because you did that. That's your kid, not our fucking problem. And honestly, can I tell you, right between the sound guy and this fucking kid, because right after that, nobody wanted to mosh anymore because everybody's like,
oh, really?
Because by the way, the guy didn't like leave with the kid. Like, really? He didn't even just. Yeah, he didn't like take him out. He was just like, and the kid, by the way, was fine. He stopped crying because he's, you know, he's a pussy kid. He could cry because he's scared. And then he gets up and he's like, oh, I'm not actually hurt. The kids are whatever. And then he's back down on the ground dancing around like this. And everybody's like, well, we can't fucking mosh now because this dickhead has staked claim to his retarded kid being here. This is where his kid has to be. So if we want to mosh now, we all have to go somewhere else to do it if we want to.
That's might crazy. As well just.
Like between, like I said, between the sound guy and this fucking dumb kid and his dumber dad, it really did ruin Strung Out set. Even still, though, like I said, even still, they still did wet really, really great. But it was a struggle throughout because that sound guy, I don't think ever got the vocals completely right, and it was fucked up
stuff
the whole time.
Stuff like that can really, like, that stuff really fucking irks me. Like little, like. There's certain times where it's like the little things irk me more than the big things, because it's like with that dude and his kid.
Yeah.
You almost look at that and you go, this is so obvious. Like, yeah. This whole thing right now is so fucking obvious. Just right. Don't bring the kid here. Right. And it like, and I go, like,
there
I see
is
that.
An answer. Yeah.
I see that. Well, because I see that guy and I just go, like, this is, maybe I'm extrapolating too much from this moment. Maybe I'm like really putting a lot. Well, but no, it's like there's part of me that goes, like, you can't be this fucking stupid right now. You can't, right. like you brought your kid into the pit. He got kneed in, obviously he got kneed in the fucking head. That's what's going to happen when there's an 8-year-old in the fucking pit. Right. And it's like, and now you're being like, no, back off, dude. Back off, dude. Da-da-da. It's like, no, you can't possibly be this fucking stupid to just be, you know. And it's like, it actually made me. So I wanted to bring this video up on actually No More Heroes, but it weirdly correlates to this. Wow. I didn't bring it up because it was kind of a funny video and it doesn't have to do with music. Or no, that doesn't make sense, but you know what I'm saying. But no, you just made me. This is possibly one of the funniest videos I've ever seen. Okay. But like, this guy that you're about to see correlates to the bringing your kid in the pit guy. But let's just watch this. This is possibly one of the funniest videos I've ever seen.
Oh my god. Is that his son next to him too?
Watch it, bro.
Can you imagine, dude? Can you imagine doing that on another man's back?
Here, wait. Sorry, your audio doesn't come in good when we're watching the video. What were you saying?
I was saying, can you imagine doing that on another man's back? Like fucking, like, what is it? Dirty Dancing, like on his shoulders.
That's what they did in Dirty Dancing to practice the move. But for people who are listening, I mean, I do post the video on Spotify, but for the people who are listening that didn't watch the video, a guy, dude, it's so funny. A guy is at a water park and he takes the zip line and he's coming in, and then it gets to a certain point where the zip line just stops. So he drops into the water. But the thing is, the water's like, he looks like he's about like 5'8" to 6', somewhere in that ballpark.
Yeah.
And the water's probably like 7' deep. Yeah. And this guy, it becomes very abundant very quickly. This guy can't swim.
Yeah.
So he starts splashing around violently. And then a lifeguard has to very quickly jump in and hold him. Dude, the lifeguard is also under the water holding this guy up.
Walking him to safety.
And I watched it a couple times just going like, who the fuck is this guy?
Yeah.
He knowingly can't swim. Right. So he got on this, and it's like, dude, you could have like, you could have fallen earlier, but like,
you should have just let him drown. Just let him drown.
What was your fucking plan, man?
When
like, what was the plan if you didn't get all the way to the end, like you didn't, and you just hit the water, knowing you don't know how to swim?
When
it was like, fucking crazy.
When you're hanging like this, obviously you have no upper body strength because as soon as there's like just a stop in the cord, he just goes and just lets go. Like, but at that point, you're almost eye to eye with the lifeguard. You can go, hey, by the way, I can't swim. You know what I mean? Like, give him a heads up at least, because like when he drops in, he kind of waits there for a second. And then it's like he remembers he can't swim. And then he gets to there and he goes, oh, yeah, I forget. I can't.
But
even still, if he dropped right there, he could walk out. Like if he dropped a little bit earlier, he would have probably been able to walk out.
What do you mean walk out?
Like, isn't it pretty shallow leading up to that? It looks like the kid where he drops, it looks like he just stands up.
No, he's swimming.
Oh, he's swimming. Okay. Well, then again, still, like I'm assuming that's not his kid. That's just crazy, though. You're right. You're absolutely right. The complete lack of self-awareness to be like, why would you do this? This water thing without any, the one thing that doesn't
knowing,
give you a flotation device that
knowing
doesn't
you can't you, swim
knowing you can't
fucking
swim.
Crazy
also not being able to swim as an adult is fucking crazy, but that's just judgment.
That's not even a in my mind that's not even a relevant factor. I'm more going, and the reason I correlate it to the dude in the pit where you're just like dude, there's these people like I can't express how fucking crazy this video is to me, where it's like, how do you go through life?
Yeah.
That haphazardly.
It's like
you know, you can't fucking swim and you just casually like he didn't what's the fucking word I'm looking for? He didn't consider swimming out of the pool until the second his feet hit that water. I can't fathom going through life that haphazardly. What were you going to say?
This is like being like lactose intolerant and then going to a restaurant and confidently ordering a quesadilla and then taking a bite of it and going, is there cheese in this? Like, it's like legitimate. Yeah. Yeah, dude. Like you walked up and you saw the pool, right? And then you were in line the whole time and you saw everybody go in front of you, go and then go into the pool.
Yeah.
The entire time that was happening, you know that you can't swim.
It's a batshit crazy way to move through life. And he may not be
that indignant. I'm sure he was probably like, he was probably on the guy's back and he's just like, you're getting long enough. It took so long.
You know, no, dude, you know, he was out of the water. Like, I was crazy back there. What happened? You're like, dude, what?
You think it cramped up? Like what? And
I correlate this dude at the Strung Out show to this guy. Cause I'm just like, I'm just like, it makes me almost want to assault the guy and go, why did this even happen? Why was the kid in the, like, you can't, like, there's, maybe I'm setting a too high a standard for the fucking American people, but you can't just go through life this fucking haphazardly and then get mad at the world because, like, I'm sorry, dude, the pit did pit shit. Your kid is short. That's what fucking happens.
Your kid is short, weak, and is not paying attention and hasn't been dealt with in the past, apparently, because this kid just got dealt with and then he's crying, which is normal because kids getting kneed in the face are going to cry.
He's going to cry bad.
But that's what I'm saying is like you comforting him, like you can tell your son anything you want, but you have to realize what you've done and the part you've played in this is, and he did not realize that because obviously he stayed in the exact same spot and did nothing but shoot daggers at this fucking guy, this drunk guy who was acting 100. He was not out of control, Andy. I've seen plenty of fucking, I got to tell you, a little side note. Seeing Les and Jake outside of Florida was really weird for me. It didn't make sense to me because, like, it felt like there was none of the regular, aside from that drunk guy, there were none of the normal people I saw in the pit. Like, I was getting judged by, like teenagers. You know what I mean? Like, but again, they weren't teenagers. They weren't all that, but they just felt like people that didn't realize, including this guy, that they were at a punk rock show. You're at a punk show where when they play fast and they fucking say, let's fuck it up, and they do this, when they do this, that means that's what they want us to do. They want us to run around and run into each other, and it's all appropriate. And the amount of people that either didn't understand that because they were enjoying the music, they didn't understand that. And anytime the weird looks, like when a couple pits did break out, where they were like people going like, again, like the, you okay? Like that kind of that vibe was kind of shared all throughout.
Yeah, that guy
with this fucking dickhead and his kid of like, hey man, he's a fucking kid. It's like, yeah, exactly. He's a fucking kid, and this is strung out, stupid.
Why is he here?
Right. They're shredding and they're singing about Lucifer, for fuck's sake. Like, what do you think? Do you think they want your child here? Do you? And by the way, Dom brought this up too, which was really funny. There was at one point somebody put their fucking daughter on their shoulders and like was safely walking up to the front of the stage while Strung Out was playing. And Dom was like, do you think he wants to see like an 8-year-old? Like, he's looking out to the crowd going like, blah, 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 you know, screaming and shit like that. And there's like a fucking 8-year-old going like, I'm like, yeah, he probably has kids and probably was like, oh, that's cute. But he's like, I'm trying to fucking rock out. I'm trying to go crazy. Less than Jake is next, you know, then we're going to bring out the beach balls and we're going to be dancing and everything like that. But right now we're going to have this fucking guitar solo. I'm going to tell you guys to fuck it up. And when I say fuck it up, I mean,
kill the children.
See any 8-year-olds that are around you, please.
Punt an 8-year-old. Yeah, well, that dad sucks. And I hope that kid doesn't fucking die. Right, sorry. No, there was just another important. There's another important thing I wanted to show you. Homegrown 1999 EP Phone Home had the Barbie Girl cover on it.
Ah, okay.
I was right.
Was this Bigwig?
God damn it. There's no way of getting it was Bigwig the whole time. No, it was Homegrown. I knew they did the Barbie Girl song because I was like, why do I know Homegrown? And I can't tell you one Homegrown song.
And you still can't. You can only tell them one cover.
I can tell you a Bigwig song. You know which people in the pit needed to get shot?
Who's that?
These jokers. Oh, shit. I hit the wrong button. These jokers.
These jokers. No, no, not those jokers.
Yeah.
Oh. Hey, what?
Yeah, I request the U.S. government to whatever country that is. We really need to go to war with them. That's on.
Hold on here, man. Like, dude, there's. I love bit. Andy, you can tell the chat. Tell them how much I fucking love bits. I love bits. Tell them.
Chat, Pat loves bits.
He's not lying to you. I don't like this, man. I want to stomp on those motherfuckers. I want to stomp
on them. It's like the social media. It's the way social media is influencing a lot of these shit where.
Too far.
What?
Too far.
Yeah, no, it's just like, it's that weird fucking thing of like, I don't know. And there might be broader. I just hope the band didn't say to do it, because as a band, you're in a weird position where like. Like, if you're in a band and the crowd starts rowing and the whole crowd starts doing the rowing thing, you're in a weird position with the band where you're like, okay, if they're all doing it, they clearly are all, like, they're actively showing you, we want to do this.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you shit on them too hard, you're going to, like, risk the whole crowd turning on you and your set going real bad and, you know, other shit like that. But So, but at the same time, I don't know. There almost feels like a responsibility on the band to be like, what are you guys doing?
Yeah, stop. Like, legitimately, I wish the whole ordeal with the child in the pit had happened within the eyesight of the stage, because I'm pretty sure there would have been a thing of like, hey man, why do you have a fucking kid in the like, legitimately, that would be the thing. But I think Tonya is bringing up that might be the lead singer might be the culprit of this.
Oh really?
There might have been somebody on stage doing it, either somebody that went on stage or maybe he was like, check it out. But either way, whether he's doing it, maybe they did it and then he started doing it, either way, I don't support this even a little bit. I would
for everyone listening, everyone's on their back kicking their feet in the air, so
they
wait,
look like roaches or something.
You're saying the lead, okay, so Tonya is saying,
yeah,
the lead singers,
I gotta tell you, I don't even know what I'm looking at or where the stage is. Like, is it's downward? Or okay, there's the stage. All right,
I feel like this is the singer. I don't know.
Yeah, so it might be a hey, do like I'm doing.
This shit's fucking like irritating to me, because I'm just like, guys, can we not just like? I don't know what it is. I don't know what this is. It's like so many people are afraid to just be themselves. You're like, just be a person, man. You know what I mean? You don't have to like. I don't know. That's why I don't, you know, like when we're choosing what to do as a friend group to like hang out, people always love going to do the like pre-planned fun things. And I'm always like, let's just like, if fun happens, it happens. It's like, I will say I do like the one that seems a lot of people make fun of that I do enjoy, because it's pretty straightforward and simple, is axe throwing. You know, a lot of people will shit on axe throwing, but then once you get like a throw or two in, you're like, oh wait, this rules. I don't care. I don't care that the venue has like some dumb pun for the name, like Axe to Meet You or whatever the fuck it's called. They're always called, but there are certain events where you're like, this all just feels contrived. Like, can't we just, and to bring it back to this like live shit, it's all just seems like, what are we even fucking doing? I feel like you're all just doing this to hope someone records it and then we can like talk about it later. And I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know if any of that made sense. I'm all over the place. I'm more annoyed, so I can't think of a good logical argument on this. I just want to drone bomb them.
There's no substance to it. There's no actual, I don't, even if it has something to do with the song, it's just very like, either it's going to become a thing that your band becomes super famous for and you're going to get sick of, or this is the thing that gets all eyes on your band and everybody's like, all right. You know what I mean? Like is it worth it? Like how many times do we talk about like subject matter wise, content wise, whatever it is, like do we ever want to get to a point where we become those super uniform, hey guys, don't forget to like and subscribe, and like where you're compromising your integrity by doing this, where you're like, hey, oh, you're that band that everybody lays on their back, yeah, that's so cool. So even if you get a million people doing it, it's like that's your Macarena. Then what?
You know what it made me think of? It reminded me, because I just thought of, there was one band a while ago that had, like, they did this dumb thing where they threw, like, a Twister pad in the crowd, and then they played Twister in the middle of a song or something. And it reminded me of, like watching wrestling. I remember there's this one character, Baron Corbin, who's like, he's a heel, and he's actually one of the best heels in my opinion right now of like the modern age. He hasn't really been on TV that much lately, or no, he's in NXT, but regardless, he's one of the best modern day heels to get like genuine hatred. And then I remember they were trying to do a thing, I think with The Rock, when he came back randomly one time, they're trying to get this thing catching on where they were calling him a super tough dude, which is STD. And it was this thing where you could really play, you were like, oh, you guys like really plan this. And it just, for whatever reason, it doesn't feel as fun, as opposed to like when you do the what chant with Stone Cold, like that was Stone Cold just going like fucking with people on the show going what, and then the crowd just started doing that. And it's like, that's when it's fun. Like, it's, I don't know, man. It's just with certain things, it's like, dude, there's a lot of propensity. We're at a very fun environment. There's a high propensity of fun. You don't have to shoe in this fake corny bullshit. Cause what happens is, I was thinking about this. No, you know what it was? I recorded a TikTok and then I go, why are you recording TikToks? And I deleted it. I do that like every 3 months. I'll like record a TikTok of me talking. Then I'll be like, we don't do TikToks, Andy, stop. But no, I was thinking about, did I tell you about it was that dance that kid was doing to Kublai Khan where he does like, oh yeah, we saw it when we watched the fucking, the wedding video. And there's this dance people do where they do these like, he'll do like starfish thing and they'll do a very specific way where he puts his hands straight up. Yeah. And like that started catching on TikTok and now everyone's doing that. And when I recorded the video before I deleted it, I was making the joke. I was like, we're at a real inflection point with Kublai Khan right now. Cause there's a way, there's a moment where they can be co-opted by like the annoying normies of this, like it can be co-opted by, this is how it can get co-opted by the, like the normal normies of this shit. Because what you do when you set a preset like that with the dance, and when you create these presets of certain ways of being, you now create a fast track for people who aren't really in a group to like infiltrate the group in a way. Right. You know what I mean? So with the moshing, with doing pre-planned hyper-specific moshing like that, it's like you're creating a way of like people who aren't really like, I know mosh talk is kind of corny and shit, but I think this applies to shit in general where you create this fast track for people to be a part of this, but do it in a really fucking lame, annoying way. So right. Then it'll slowly just, when you give this easy access to people, it'll slowly just start bastardizing the whole fucking process where, yeah. And I know a fucking 34-year-old talking about the purity of moshing is kind of gay and stuff, but also podcasting is gay. So give me a break. But no, for real though, it's just like, I gotta be honest. Like when I'm in there, you know, you throw a couple beers back, you hear your favorite fucking song and you're just doing this. It's a very fun, freeing experience. And to have it bogged down with all these people who just like, they just want to get like the merit badge. They don't actually want to like, they don't want to do the fucking shit. They just want to get the fucking merit badge of like, I went to a hardcore show or I'm a Kublai Khan fan or shit like that. It's like, I don't know, dude. I realized this hit because Kublai Khan's like my favorite band. And I told you, dude, I'll have those fucking mornings where I wake up depressed as hell. I'll listen to Theory of Mind for five times in a row. And it gives me the strength to get through the day, dude. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know what I mean? And we also talked about like, you don't got to give a fuck about anything I give a fuck about. But also at the same time, like, this is the phrase I said. I'm like, I'm not necessarily going to gatekeep, but I'm definitely going to stand by the gate, mean mugging people. Like, you really want to come in? All right. You want to come in? You know what I mean? You want to come in? You want a starfish dance? I will crowd kill your fucking head off your shoulders at the Kublai Khan show then.
Right. I will gate judge you.
I'll knee the fuck out of your kid at the Strung Out show. You can do it.
That's how it goes here. That's what happens here. If you want to come into this world, you're welcome to come into this world, but be prepared to deal with what happens in this world. But don't act like you're in this world because we don't fucking take kindly to posers around here.
Dude, it's like when I went to go see, I think I talked about this. I went to go see fucking, no, dude, that's the best way to fucking put it. You can do that shit here, but we're also going to do our shit here, and you may not like our shit, but this is what we do here. It's like when I went to go see Gallows. Please, thank you. That was crazy. It was so long.
Almost knocked myself out.
I told you, I went to go see Gallows one time, and we were all like moshing and stuff, and there were these two young kids being fucking jackasses, and they go in and they start doing this floppy arm thing. They're just walking around doing this like dead floppy arm thing, and then I see this dude who's like twice my size. He like, I see him go like, okay, and he walks up and he just stands in front of the kids, and then he just does the most aggressive donkey kick while going backwards and just takes these fucking dickheads out. And I'm like, And then the best part was he walks by me and I gave him the greatest high five of his life. Yeah. Cause it's like, and I know it's like, yes, and I didn't tell that story to sound cool. I didn't tell the fucking beaten up children story to sound cool, but I'm just letting you know, like, if the place you're at's a certain type of way, right, you got to let people know when they're acting up.
The issue. And it's a self-correcting issue, because of that exact thing, is one of these dances, and it's something that I don't think like hardcore and or metal people have had to really deal with too much in the past, but now that it's becoming more popular, and something that we've speculated on in the past about this is going to be beneficial for metal, this is good for hardcore. No, it's not. What I'm realizing, and what I think we all need to realize as far as social media goes, is it never has the intended purpose. That may be what this band is trying to do, or other bands, the Kublai Khan or anything. And not that they're directly involved with it, but like the reason this doesn't actually help Kublai Khan is because they're taking focus immediately. The fact that the dance is the focus of TikTok, it takes focus away from Kublai Khan, and it definitely mitigates the fact that they actually are the ones who created not just this song, but a lot of other fucking bangers. So it leads these people to come go, I'm going to come do this dance at the show. And then it just leads to a lot of ambulances, you know, trying to leave the venue at once because there's so many hurt children because they thought it was cute or it's fun. And it just doesn't translate like that. I think it's the same way where if a Crip or like, you know, Gang Signs were cool and stuff like that when I was really young, to know Gang Signs, I wasn't in any gangs, but if I threw that gang sign in the wrong neighborhood, I was going to get fucked up because they don't know that I don't know. They don't care if I know or don't. And the same rule applies at hardcore shows. I don't give a fuck. We're gang, dude. If you're doing that shit, you're just standing there flopping your arms around, you're going to get dealt with. And
I'll put it this way.
Nobody is going to be on your side.
I'll put it this way, Pat. I'll put it this way. Them doing that starfish dance, they're not buying fucking knives.
Yeah.
Hey, they're not buying fucking knives.
You call yourself a fan? How about I pull this out in the pit?
Where's your fucking knife? Where's your fucking knife, dude? That was me going like, wait, where is my knife?
I know. I was like, I know he's reaching for something. I'm going to wait for him to stop moving because I saw you go.
Just trust me. I'll always, if I'm moving around, it's for a thing.
but legitimately, that's the fucking rule, dude. How we play things here. You are more than welcome to come to the Kublai Khan show. Come on down. But if you try some fucking antics or anything like that, I cannot guarantee your safety, and I can't guarantee that you won't. You're not going to get attacked. No, you're just going to get dealt with, and that's well, it. And there's a difference.
This is why the mosh pit is superior, because they can get dealt with and then politely stand off to the side,
right,
where you should have been the whole time.
That child can stand near where they are. Again, if you have them on your shoulders and you're just two or three people away, you're safe. You're fine.
Yeah.
But if you're going to put your kid in the mouth of the fucking pit, then they're going to get fucked with, dude. Like, it's going to get, your kid is going to get fucking knee fucked in the face.
Yeah.
And you can get mad at as many people as you want, whether you be some dickhead on your back and then somebody runs by and stomps on your throat because you're kicking your legs in the air, whether the lead singer told you to or not. It's not happening on my watch. If it's a band that I care about and you're just doing, even if they, I'm not siding with you. You need to know that your fans, your real fans, don't want you to do this cute little fun shtick where you're like,
yeah. All right, let's do one more thing, and then I gotta get out of here on something. We went really long. We went really long on No More Heroes. Nah, that was great though. You guys definitely need to check out the No More Heroes stream if you want to hear us talk more than just music. Excuse me. If you want to hear us talk more than just music, you definitely need to check out No More Heroes. I'll try to leave the link for those in the comments and shit.
I felt smarter near the end of that episode.
I think you and me really, that's why we need to do long podcasts, because like we really lock in about 30 to 40, like 40 minutes in is when,
that's when we're firing.
Yeah, that's not a good, it's not good to lock
in. Did I do that off mic? Was that off mic?
It's not good to lock in after everyone left. Oh, I wanted to show you this. I was really curious about your opinion on this one because, there is definitely, so this one, there is definitely an aspect of this that I'm not super familiar with how this all works, but you know, I'm not above wildly speculating and stating those speculations as facts, Pat. I think that's something we can really get in on.
Yeah.
No, let me show you this. So I saw this known awful person. No, that sounds good. but just annoying person, Machine Gun Kelly. And Trippie Redd, who I heard one or two songs of his I liked, but I don't know much more outside of that. I'm very aware of him. I just don't know his music that well. But yeah, so they put out this song. It came out yesterday, actually. Song's called Genre Sad Boy, which, Jesus fucking Christ. Machine Gun Kelly sucks, dude.
What do you have to be sad about, you fucking dickhead? You lying poser bitch.
He's so annoying.
You're not sad. You were just a rapper like 2 days ago. How are you? Rappers aren't sad, and if they are, they do drugs. You're not even doing drugs, you loser.
He's sad because Eminem kicked him out of rap. That's why he's sad.
Yeah, but he's making more money now.
Yeah, he really is.
What the fuck?
So they put out this song, and then I see this dude who he has a chick as his profile picture, but he is a guy.
Whoa.
But he posted this. He goes, I hate the way Gen Z talks now. The way I just learned I have a beat placement in this morning, and I know it's about to be the worst song I've ever heard. Which I have to look up what beat placement is. But what I'm assuming is this guy makes beats, sells them, or like he makes beats for people and then sells them, and then one of the beats he made that he sold got into a Machine Gun. Yeah, that and a lot of people are kind of getting on his side because this is really funny actually. Thanks for Trippie Redd retweeted that. Goes, thanks for letting me know you have been removed from the album. Good luck.
Yeah.
And then this one was funny though, because MGK goes, played himself for Twitter likes. But then someone just posted this weird tweet of MGK's from 09. There's a little 13-year-old girl next to me going crazy over my Transformers tattoo. Don't worry though, y'all, I won't pull an R. Kelly. Which, Machine Gun Kelly, I'm not going to say he's a pedo, but he's had a history of weird things, saying weird things about teenagers, which, you know, I don't, with that knowledge, I don't find it weird that he decided to go into emo music.
Yeah, that is kind of weird. Yeah. He's like, wait a minute, all that stuff about Warped Tour, those Warped Tour bands, was that true? Because they really just fuck over the
Wait, really? You just do that? I think I just decided I love emo music.
None of those guys are in jail? Huh. Anyway, can we just play Warped Tour?
Did you get to play? Dude, that'd be so funny. Machine Gun Kelly comes out and sponsors Warped Tour.
Dude, I will say that's not even a red flag anymore. That's essentially an admission. That's him saying, like, yes, I absolutely will have a VIP area with an 18 and under.
But yeah, I was curious about your opinion on that because I saw that tweet and I was just like, I don't know. This kind of makes you like a dickhead, and it makes
it's the most unprofessional. Like legitimately how Trippie Redd put it?
Trippie Redd.
Whatever, yeah. Trippie Redd said, like, you just, like, thank you for bringing this up. Like, don't worry, you won't be compensated. Like, you won't be compensated. You won't have credit for it. And we will still continue to be, like, we also got a promotion off of this as well, you idiot.
Yeah, but this is really funny.
Your old girls weren't allowed to be hot, so I wouldn't feel like such a creeper when I look at them. I'm still 19.
Yeah. And then there's like this. Sorry, I'm super ADD right now. There is also this, like, there's like this Fuse interview where he like makes it a point. I got to find the clip. The clip's crazy. Machine Gun Kelly.
It's almost
hopefully he keeps his urges subdued.
he's just saying like that. Like, essentially
what
Tanya just said.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he put it # I'm just saying. So like it's one of those things that like, dude, it's not like we haven't thought it, man. It's not like one of those things where you're like, uh-oh, I didn't realize that they were all getting off a school bus. That's terrible. You know, sure, whatever. But the amount of times he seems to be bringing it up. And also when he's just like, oh, by the way, I'm only 19, so it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Like one of those things of like, oh, yeah, but it's still technically illegal. Actually, in Florida, I think there's the age of consent is 16. Mm. So if he's in Florida, I mean, that's probably okay, right?
Yeah, I think you get arrested if you don't do it in Florida.
Yeah.
No, but yeah, it's I saw this tweet and I just go like, because I don't know, like, I've done a lot of comedy shows with people I don't like, and I've done some podcasts with people I don't like. You know what I mean? I'm doing it right now. God, oh, man, you fucking beat me to it. No, but you're like, it's not. The reason I think it's like a pussy move is because it's like, no, it's actually soup. This won't hurt his career because no one likes Machine Gun Kelly.
Yeah,
and it's like a, you wouldn't do this if you were on a, like, I don't know, if you found out, I'm trying to think of an example, like if you didn't like Drake, you wouldn't say this about Drake, like you're just doing it because it's okay to hate Machine Gun Kelly, and we're a show that loves to shit on Machine Gun Kelly, and we're telling you that you're a pussy.
Yeah, I think what you did was you double dipped, you kind of did, you worked with them, you dealt with them, you did business with them, they probably paid you for the beat. And did all that stuff. So most likely, so you got the money from that. And then you thought, all right, let me try to get a little bit more out of this. So you, like you said, like they, you know, you fucked yourself for a couple of Twitter likes. But like you said, there is a group of people that don't give a shit about Machine Gun Kelly. But if this guy's work isn't good, they're still not going to work with him, even though like they have a common enemy. So like even his logic, I feel like is flawed in this strategy because it's just comes off as unprofessional. And it also comes off as like, you would be smarter. Even if you like, unless you had the worst experience of your life working with Machine Gun Kelly and you hated him, if you just think he's a douche or you don't like him and you just wanted to jump on that bandwagon, this is dumb because out of the people that don't like Machine Gun Kelly and Machine Gun Kelly, Machine Gun Kelly makes more money than them. So if you're working with him and you're not that you have to sell your soul to like go out of your way to suck his dick, but just don't mention that you hate him and that you think he's a piece of shit and no harm, no foul. Like you don't have to share the beat. You sold the beat.
Yeah.
You don't have to like it. And well, not to mention now you get the money for the beat. But also now you're taken off the track, so now you're not going to get any kind of possible residuals that might be there. And also, you have publicly shown yourself to be somebody who maybe even for no reason whatsoever might just talk shit about some art you're doing. You know what I mean? Like, and that's
that's the thing. If that gets around, now you're just telling people like you're like unprofessional and you won't.
If I went to a club or I was working at a club and I left there and I was like, all I did was I cashed my check. And then after that, all I did was just talk shit about my experience there and just go like, yeah, the food was kind of shitty and I didn't really like it. And it was just kind of like, it just sucked. And like, well, it's like one of those things of like, what are you doing? You're talking shit. You don't have to share that. You don't have to say this was the best food. This was the best place. You can just not share that you hated it. And
well, you know what it is?
Professional.
You know what it is also? It's I made a joke out of it one time talking about myself where I said it on this podcast here where I was like, I made a joke where I go, I'm revealing how bad my career's going, but I'm still going to say this where I go, I was like, if I'm doing a show at your venue and you have a kitchen, like you have a restaurant there, like, you should just give me some food, you know? But in that process, I'm revealing that like, yeah, I'm doing bad venues where they're not even going to give me fucking food. Right. So I'm like, in a way, that's why I made a joke out of it to acknowledge the fact that I'm like almost playing and it's like, I'm revealing some sad info. And it's like, you're kind of revealing some sad info. Cause like I said, I'm not 100% what beat placement is, but clearly it's a process that you make beats and then where your beats go are out of your control. So you're revealing, think about it. That's what that has to mean.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
like,
you sell your beat for probably a flat rate. And then you're like, you find out after the fact, oh, by the way, your beat was picked up or It's almost like submissions to like a festival or something like that. Like,
so they're basically saying, yeah, they're basically acknowledging, like, it's like you're kind of playing yourself and you're like, you're trying to shit on Machine Gun Kelly, but you're revealing that you're not in like a good place, that you don't have control over where your fucking beats go.
Dude, you're right. So like so it's not even what I thought. It's not even unprofessional. It's like you're blowing your unprofessional.
Well, it is unprofessional.
I thought it was even more so. Like, I thought it was, I thought it was more like, oh, well, you're at least a little bit established because you obviously dealt a beat to Machine Gun Kelly and Bubble Boy. What was it? Red? What is it?
Dude, Red? Close.
No, Trippie Red. Trippie Red.
Yeah, there you go.
There is a, I knew it was something silly. Not only that, but like you had an opportunity. You got an opportunity to have your beat featured on a mainstream single from a mainstream artist, and you immediately torpedoed any possibility of actually like returning, because that's the thing, is I'm sure this beat placement thing is one of those things where they're like, hey, we used one of these beats before, instead of going through beat placement, we'll just reach out to you directly. That's a possibility. And now also, you've taken that possibility and any possibility of anyone reaching out to you because they really like that beat. Like, you're fucking yourself way too early.
Also, think about it. Like, yeah, we all agree Machine Gun Kelly sucks, but his music is popular with fucking, you know, all the teenagers he wants to have sex with. 13s,
14s, 15s.
Yeah, all the according to him, the hottest ages.
God damn it. I mean, they're only so fucking hot for so long. You 12? Bro, 13? Mm-hmm.
Ha-cha-cha. No, so it's by like, the way, okay.
I'm
37.
I'm just what? Saying. I'm, by the way, I'm 37. I'm just saying.
But no, it's like think about it. Like, Machine Gun Kelly is popular. Like, his shit might be heard by other artists. And then if they go, and can you imagine too? Like, imagine if you're a good beat maker and you go, Machine Gun Kelly has all this shitty music, but oh shit, this one song's actually pretty good. Who the fuck made a beat that made Machine Gun Kelly sound good?
Right.
Yeah. It's
you have no confidence. You have no confidence in your art. You have no confidence in your work. And that's why you're sabotaging yourself. It's like one of those things of like, what if this was a hit? What if this was the biggest fucking hit in the world and you just fucked yourself because you took your element out of it? And they're like, we'll just find something else. We'll eat that cost. Sure. You keep the $4,000, you fucking dummy bitch. And now you're going to like possibly keep selling your beats somewhere, but like, and not only that, but this might jeopardize them with beat placement. If this is a service or something that's offered, they, you know, the Machine Gun Kelly, if they want to, and Trippie Red can fucking go to that thing and be like, hey, we won't use your platform anymore if you continue to deal with this person. They could do that. Not that they would have to, but like, if they really wanted to, they could fuck you, dude. But like, you fucked yourself. So like, either way, it's such a stupid move in my opinion. Yeah, even if you hated the experience.
I just think it's like the part that irks me is it's just like a pussy move from top to bottom. Yeah.
You're trying to double dip and in the most pussy way possible by being like, oh, well, fucking, oh, it, cause you're humble bragging your insult. You know what I mean? You're trying to do too much in a post and you're not prolific enough to back it up. Like if Kanye was talking this kind of shit, it would be one of those things that like, I may not love Kanye, but I know at least his body of work would back up the shit talk of another artist. Whereas I even don't like Machine Gun Kelly, but I'm more familiar with more of his art than your fucking art. So if you're going to go like, oh great, I got to deal with this dickhead, I'd be like, yeah, you get to deal with a famous musician. Like, you're new. You're not going to get.
You're new. You don't get all the nice things.
Right. I don't. Nobody.
No, that's a good point.
It's like an entitlement. Like, there's a weird entitlement.
Yeah.
Inside of a fucking humble brag, inside of a fucking insult. And it's like, none of it is helping you.
When you said the entitlement, I'm curious how old this person is, because, and now I'm about to say an old person boomery thing, but no, for real though, I wonder, because I've felt this, and I like when I was younger, I felt this, and I think bringing it back to social media, I wonder if there's something, growing up with like seeing so many people in those like top positions on social media, like imagine if you want to be a streamer or like us, you want to be a fucking YouTuber, and it's like there's so many people out there making a living at it and this and that, yeah. and like yeah. making whether they're millionaires or they're just making like whatever 60K a year or shit like that, and you can see so many people, and like arguably there will be instances, I know I've felt it. It's actually what part of the reason I got into like podcasting about music and stuff is I've seen so many horrendous band interviews by these people making a living doing that. And I go, how are you so bad at that? Making a living doing it. And you know what I mean? It's like, why am I not? You know, I feel like it can generate this more, this sense of like, why don't I have that? But if you don't have if you don't have that like mature ability to humble yourself and go like, well, did I put in all the work? Did I? Right. Cause that's the other half of it. You can't just, that's the annoying reality is like, you can't just be really good at something. You have to be good at like networking and talking to people and yeah. putting yourself out there and doing shit like that. So it's like that. This seems like a person who isn't, I'm sure they're good at making beats. Machine Gun Kelly wanted to put your beat on a song. He's an A-list celebrity. I'm sure you're good at making beats. But, like, you also need to humble yourself and go, like, well, he did get it out of beat placement. He didn't – because I looked up beat placement, and it's either buying it from the producer or you sell your beat to a record label. The record label has a bunch of beats sitting around, and they just happen to pick it and shit like yeah. that. So it's like, all right, well, you're also in a space where – you know, you're not making beats special for big artists. You're selling it right. to record labels and they'll use it if someone likes it. So, you know, but you're still like making it. Yeah. I'll give you props for that. You're still making it, but it's like humble yourself. You know, as much as Machine Gun Kelly sucks, he put in the work. He sold his soul to the devil. He's drank yeah. the baby blood. You know what right. I mean? Like yeah. he put in the work.
Right. Yeah. He definitely, I mean, he's stayed away from all of those teenagers this long, obviously being tempted and sharing his, you know, his feelings.
He didn't
want
to fill up. He didn't want to fill up because you all want to have room for the baby during the sacrifice.
Exactly. So I think Machine Gun Kelly is like, even if he's like,
is your cat being annoying?
No, my computer said like it was about to die and I forgot that it wasn't plugged in. So basically, it may not be the most desirable thing, but that's also like, it's because like, again, we've never heard of you and we've heard of him. So just because now we've heard of you.
That's such a good way to put it.
Like, I don't know, I don't know who you are.
Sometimes the simplest phrasing is so goddamn funny. Yeah, I never heard of you and I heard of him.
Yeah. So that's really what it comes down to is like, who am I going to take sides on here? You, and now even knowing that you did not even deal directly with Machine Gun Kelly. So like, you have no personal like beef. Like it wasn't like, oh, I was working with him. And finally, like, it's like this thing of like, oh, I wake up and I find out that I got paid for one of my beats and a major artist is going to use it. What a fucking cocksucker. It's yeah. like, you ungrateful little fucking dweeb, dude. Like fucking, if you don't want to be here, bye. You know what I'm yeah. saying? Like, go work in a fucking pizza shop, you fuck. Go do whatever you want on the street corner and be a completely morally connected artist, and you're going to fucking sleep on the street, you fucking idiot. You got to kiss a little bit of dick. And, yeah. like, to me, that wait, is, wait, like, wait. The most... What?
Wait, I could be kissing dick this whole time?
Oh no! You get to, like I said.
Like, hold the fucking phone! I didn't know you could. I didn't know you got to kiss all this dick at the Illuminati.
Not to mention, like you said, there is a way to do it. Also, still morally connected, morally honest with yourself, and being yeah. like, and it just takes a lot more work, and you don't have to sacrifice yourself. So, like, if you didn't put your beats into beat placement, it wouldn't have got picked out of beat placement, dummy. But that's you could sell them on your own, so you had to, and now you're admitting, hey guys, my failure actually turned out to be kind of a success, but not the success I wanted, so I'm really sad. And it's like, well, then then I guess you don't want to work in this business anymore, because
yeah, it's like
how it works.
You got fucking paid. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Like, legitimately, it just comes off as really entitled, super ungrateful, and completely, like, definitely short-sighted. Very short-sighted.
Yeah. Hell yeah. All right. I have to go do some things, piss out my fucking butt, like we said earlier. this has been great. Tonya and anyone else in here, thank you so much for hanging out. We will be back on the regular schedule.
After he has risen.
I might be busy next week, actually, but I'll talk to you that offline. All right, guys, gals, everyone in between, thanks for hanging out. We love you all. Have a good one. Be about a peace.
God bless.
Gabrish. Okay,